Welcome to The Vampire Squid, a podcast about increasing transparency and education in finance. This is your host, Alan Lee, and welcome to episode 48 of The Vampire Squid. Today's episode, we'll be talking about women in finance with last week's guest, Valerie Wong. And I think today's episode was pretty eye-opening for me. Valerie talked a lot about the unconscious biases that we have in the workplace and some of the steps we can get to overcome those biases. And Valerie leaves us with three very sound pieces of advice that I will take very dear to my heart in the future. So as always, if you guys have any questions, comments, suggestions, please feel free to reach out to me at Alan, A-L-A-N, at thevampiresquid.com. And also please check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/thevampiresquid. Without further ado, here you guys go. So I guess just shifting gears a little bit to, you know, being a woman in finance. And I've gotten this from quite a few of my listeners. And I've done, you know, almost 50 episodes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think I've only interviewed, you know, one female, and it was Karen Ho, who was actually an anthropologist studying Wall Street behavior. And, you know, I don't think I've been doing too great of a job giving a good representation of diversity in Wall Street. So I would love to talk a little bit about maybe some of the challenges that you may have faced being a woman in finance. And I would love to hear some of those experiences, if you wouldn't mind sharing.
So I think that there are, of course, some biases, and some people might think about finance and maybe will think about the Wolf of Wall Street or something like that. But I think that finance has many, many different aspects. And the challenges that I face are more related to how women are perceived. And I think there are some biases that people have. And those biases are, for instance, traditional leadership styles favor and dominance and confidence, masculinity and focus on skills and problem solving and goal accomplishments. Yep. And these are mostly based on Caucasian male qualities. But there are other forms of good leadership. For instance, women often lead differently than men in specific ways. And I can definitely relate to this. For instance, we emphasize more collaboration and we have a more participatory, relational, interpersonal style. We put more emphasis on reciprocity and collectivity and more emphasis on empowerment. So I think that as a Latina, what I was struggling the most, it was moving beyond the level where I was, and that was an analyst and associate level. And the reason why is because as Latinas, we tend to work really hard thinking that our work will speak for itself. And we many times get promoted and at the beginning, and we go from being like me, an analyst, to an associate and becoming a specialist. But then after that, then we hit a ceiling. And the reason why we hit a ceiling is many times we don't have all these other qualities that men tend to have. As I was mentioning before. So we need to find a way to tap into that. And for that, we need support. We cannot do it by ourselves. And the support that I'm talking about is getting access through networking, getting access to mentors and sponsors, people that will help us move forward. So mentors are people who will give us advice, but sponsors are the ones who will advocate for us. So those are the challenges that I was having. I was feeling that I was stuck, that initially in my career, I was able to move up quickly and get promoted because I had a strong work ethic and my work was speaking for itself. But then I got to a point where that was not enough. So that's when I started then networking and going to these events, and I started hearing all these things from people like Noni Allwood and Julie Castro Abrams, who are here in the Bay Area talking about issues such as this, the biases, and how we need to do more, not just the hard work, but we need to find mentors and sponsors. And so that's what I started doing. And I think it has been very, very beneficial for my career at a personal level, like gaining more confidence, but also, now I'm able to provide that advice to other women and to other Latinas and other Latinos as well, who it might be new to them, like how to behave in this world, right? Where some of the traits that are associated with leadership are more of Caucasian males. So I hopefully like this will help others as well.
Yeah. No, that is definitely helpful. And, you know, just speaking to one of the points you're talking about in terms of, you know, some of the biases that males may have, specifically, you know, white males, which is typically what is more dominant or what people think of in the finance world. How do you, or what are some of the ways that you think, males especially can better understand their biases that they may have towards women or towards selecting people for promotion? Is the solution, you know, education for the males, or what are some of the things that you think would be helpful in terms of, you know, reducing some of these biases that exist in the workplace?
Well, yes, I think that it is education that is key. And I think it's also by having more Latinas and women in leadership, I think that more people will be able to see that there are great women who have great leadership abilities. And then that will remove some of the biases. And so that's why we need more women in corporate boards, more women as CEOs, and more women in leadership, and also more leadership programs designed for women.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think that makes sense because, you know, people tend to have a sort of commonality bias. And, you know, since a lot of the boards currently are just mostly Caucasian males, so, you know, they feel comfortable if there's, you know, another Caucasian male that joins or replaces another one. But it might be a little bit uncomfortable if it was a minority or if it was a female. But I completely agree. There needs to be sort of an active effort to do that so that as time goes on, as the boards become more diverse, people are selected for their work ability and their leadership and the diversity they can provide instead of being chosen for more, maybe like a commonality trait. You know, I'm a male, you're a male, I feel more comfortable with you on the board, so I'm going to pick you over the female who may be more qualified. So I totally hear you there. Do you have any maybe specific workplace examples that you could point to where you might have experienced some of these biases and how you overcame those obstacles?
I think I was not promoted once, and the reason was that it was perceived as that I was not owning a lot of the things that I should have been owning, or that I was not doing enough, and it was because I was not self-promoting. So I was not saying a lot of the things that I was doing. I was doing my job, but I was not talking about my job. And other people are very good at that. And so it's not only about doing your job, but it's also about telling your manager and telling others about the great job that you are doing. And that is something that was it was just not natural to me. So I think that some of the biases was in part because maybe I was perceived that I was not vocal enough, or that I was not aggressive enough, that I was maybe perceived as being too nice, and instead of someone who is more aggressive and confident, more on that spectrum, you know, that it, the things that are associated more with male, like masculinity trait. And on the other hand, there is research that proves that the effective leaders right now, men and women, are those who embrace traits that once were considered feminine traits, such as empathy, vulnerability, and humility, inclusiveness, generosity, balance, and patience. And this is according to Lee Buchanan. So I'm thinking that maybe there were some of those biases, but at the same time, I think that the world is changing, and in some aspects and in some companies, people want to see different leaders, not just the leaders that have these traits of dominance and confidence, but they want to see other leaders that have more of that feminine traits. So I think that's one thing where, as women, we can add a lot of value, because there is not just one leadership style. There are many, many styles, and we can definitely find a way to remove some of those biases by proving that you don't have to be all aggressive and dominant to be promoted and to become a leader.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense, because the ones that are more vocal, especially with senior people, since they don't necessarily have as much interaction at the junior level, but you know, if the people are more vocal, then they hear it and they just assume that they did the work. So it might be, you know, having to be a little bit more thorough when higher level management is making promotion decisions of not just going off of, you know, what they've heard, but, you know, actually looking at the work or doing a deeper dive to make sure that they're promoting the right person. Because I have seen that people that are more vocal definitely get a more attention, which shouldn't necessarily be the case. It should be theoretically just purely based on merit, but I think we're moving in that direction of a more meritocracy rather than whoever can talk about what they do the most, the best is promoted. I think that was very helpful. And Valerie, I know we're running a little bit short on time, but I would just want to ask you, you know, if there is something that you could leave my listeners with, maybe a piece of advice based on your experiences or something that you'd like to share before we wrap up. I'd love to hear what you would have to say or what you would like to leave my listeners with.
Yes, I definitely do. Number one is network. Networking is really important. You have heard this before, but know that it is important to find people who will advocate for you, who are your sponsors, and as well as mentors, people who can give you advice based on their experience. And you never know who is going to be the person who will open doors for you. The second thing is that there is no one perfect path to success, that there are many ways to get there. And as Steve Jobs said, you can only connect the dots going backward. So don't be afraid of trying different things, and you can get there in many, many different ways. And lastly, what I'll say is that happiness comes from within. And something that I do is that I practice yoga and meditation as well. And it helps me find balance. And happiness comes from within. That means that you need to sometimes step away from emails and from your phone and close your eyes and just breathe and just be. And that will help you find happiness. It's not out there with money and power. Happiness is inside.
I think those are three pieces of very sound advice. Valerie, thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I think that this episode would be very helpful and answer a lot of the questions that from the emails that I get from my listeners. So wanted to thank you again for coming onto the podcast.
You are very welcome. Thank you, Alan.